Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, June 1st, 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, the Mary Griffith Show underway. And we are going to say good morning to Joy Quatero Austin, who's standing by with the Great River Economic Development Foundation. Good morning, Joy.
Hello, Mary. I'm here with Angela as well. It's good to hear you.
We're excited to have both of you joining us. Kind of a change of pace. We've had Marcel for a couple of months now, so it's time for the girls to take over, the ladies of business. I like it. Inclusion.
Absolutely. Oh, you segue that so nicely, too, don't you?
Well, let's talk with you, Joy, about, or Angela, either one of you, let's chime in on this. We've now kind of started to reopen Adams County. How has Greta been helpful in this event, and what things are you planning to do in the weeks that come to make this reopening we're never going to get it on our time frame. I don't think the governor's ever going to accede to our demands, but I know you've been trying to get him to speed things up for Adams County.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously the past couple of months has been, pretty busy and stressful for all of us. But what Greta has sort of been up to has really been to team up with the folks that have been helping out with the Adams County Together framework, as well as the toolkit, the Opening Up Together toolkit. The past couple of months, we've really just been trying to prepare our businesses as much as possible for the changes ahead. Even as we are opening up, we know that there are things that we have to look out for and precautions that we have to take, not only as business owners, but also as consumers, just to keep our community safe, because really we have been doing a wonderful job at that. Again, the goal to not overwhelm our healthcare system and to make sure that we keep our citizens safe and healthy. I mean, you know, our community has been doing a really wonderful job at that. And you're right, unfortunately, we will not be rewarded by maybe making this a little bit easier and quicker for our businesses. However, I hope that what we have been doing is preparing them to make sure that they have the tools available to them through, again, the Adams County Together website, as well as the Opening Up Together toolkit. We actually spent the weekend delivering those to many of our small businesses to make sure that they had physical copies that they could use so that they don't have to necessarily reinvent the wheel. We gave them signage. We gave them things to consider and look at as they're also bringing back employees. Just a lot to consider from various different industries, and a lot of partnership with the chamber as well as the district to do so, because we know that essentially all of our economic development partners have really been working hard to communicate again with our partners, and we just want to make sure that everybody has the right information. There's so much that people got inundated with over the past couple of months, and we just want to make sure that we're taking care of them, and that's what we're doing moving forward as well. That were a lot of things that we've been working on, before all of this happened, and we want to continue to do so even as we get through opening up.
Well, I, my husband and I, ate out at a restaurant for the first time in months, and it was, nice to see. And the nice signage, yes, we're open, dine outside. We also took some carry out from a business downtown, open but for curbside delivery. So these nice banners, that everybody's got up, downtown and around town, really help people understand if they can't visually see the tent or something, whether it's carry out or whether it's, dining underneath the tent al fresco. It's a little bit windy on Friday, but I was very glad to be dining outside. The Q-Town Cash Program, still in existence? How long will that go on?
Yeah, so it is still in existence. So folks who are patronizing our small businesses that have been hardest hit, if you spend $100, and it doesn't have to be all at once, it can be cumulatively spent with a few different businesses, we're able to give you $20 in Q-Town cash. And we're sort of just taking that as it comes. We have a commitment, again, from Greta and the Chamber and the District to fund that program. And it's really just a way to to bring patrons back to our small businesses. We know that you haven't been able to visit them in person in a very long time, so they have been working real hard to make sure that their spaces are safe and are able to welcome their employees back as well as their customers back. So it's just kind of a way to reward folks to shop locally and make sure that you know, they can have a little something for their efforts.
So how does that work? I bring my receipt to the chamber office, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you can either actually, we're trying to do it out of the Gretiff office just to kind of keep it in one place. But, yes, you can either mail receipts to us personally. Just make sure that we have your information so that we can get you the Q-Town cash back to you. Or there is actually just an online form, a Google form, that you can actually upload receipts there as well. And, again, we just kind of check to make sure that they're, that's been locally spent. And then we go ahead and issue you a Q-Town cash for $20. And then participating chamber and district and Gretiff businesses accept that. And we actually just write those businesses a check right back as soon as they give us those Q-Town cash coupons.
Wow, it's great. And this is, again, a great way. I know Laura Sievert's been promoting it on Wednesdays when she's been on my show. This is an excellent way to support Quincy businesses and to get a little money back in your own pocket so you can keep re-spending that money and let it roll and roll and roll. Congratulations to Gretiff on everything you've done to help get us back open. Now, let's talk about the concierge program, because newcomers continue to come to Quincy. A lot of people, this is the time when a lot of people move. They want their kids to be in a new school district by the time school opens. So the realtors will tell you that this is boom time for moving. Get the old house sold, get the new house bought, and get the moving truck across the country. COVID-19 has slowed things down a little bit, but still, you know, people want to be in place. And once they get here, they want to make sure that they fit in comfortably in our community. We had some talk with Blessing Hospital last week, talking about the opening of their new center. And Mr. Kolliker said how important it is when you're recruiting physicians that the whole family is able to fit into Quincy society. So talk a little bit about concierge service. We think of it as a hotel giving excellent service, but it's Gretiff giving excellent service to our newcomers.
Yeah, so we have really been working, you know, behind the scenes on making sure that we can plug people in. And Mary, you have been with me since the start of moving here to Quincy and Adams County, and you know how difficult that transition can be. So we actually worked with the chamber to create sort of a little bit of a procedure, as well as our team here at Gretiff had a what was called the buddy system. So the buddy system was something that was used actually with some of our small businesses to help people kind of integrate into the workplace culture. So we wanted to take those two things and sort of think about it as people integrate into our community culture. So what we're trying to do now is, of course, we were trying to work on events and programming and having people gather, but that's not something we can do at the moment. So we're trying to figure out a workaround of that, because you're right, people are still coming into this area and moving into this area. But the other part about it is really sort of a way to sort of play a little bit of a matchmaker. Make sure that people can also meet folks that have similar interests to them, you know, whether it's personally or with their family, and make sure that those community members can then show newcomers around. Because it's not just about moving to Quincy and having the job, you know, that you've moved here for instance, but it's also about creating that community family around you, and making sure that you can see all the different wonderful things that are here in our community and with people that have those similar interests. So currently we're working sort of off-site on some training guides for volunteers to help, again, guide people through the process of connecting with our community.
It's so important. And, of course, the arts are such a big thing, but we can't really direct people to arts events now. Thank goodness our bars and restaurants are starting to reopen and will be fully reopened, because the social life in Quincy with this social distancing. Now, Joy, you're a lot younger than me, so you probably still have a social life. Where are the young kids hanging nowadays?
Yeah, that can be certainly very difficult to find. But right now, you know, it's great that at least the weather is cooperating, so we're able to get outside and get moving and find each other in those spaces where we can still be socially distant or respect each other by wearing masks if we can't. And, you know, I'm trying to get that fitness outside. My goodness, I feel like I feel like I've gained so much weight as I've been having to stay inside and work at home. But, you know, I think that what's happening now is that our, you know, our young people, I think, are hopefully finding those places to be able to enjoy each other outside as the weather gets nice, and recreation is a big part of that.
I guess the Quincy Park District really will shine this summer. They won't have any sports leagues for the little ones or adults, but they're going to have a summer playground for all the kiddos. So, again, people moving to Quincy that want to meet people in their neighborhood, they can come up to the individual parks. There's a program every day that's absolutely free for the kids. It's a way for parents to get to know each other and way for kids to get to know each other. So there's always something. Quincy has such a host of things going on. But once this pandemic starts to lift, you'll be back in full concierge mode with, you know, like you said, the mentoring and the peer group that help new people move to town. That
absolutely
sounds like great.
I do have to say, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that today actually is the launch of the What's Happening Adams County Facebook page, which is also another initiative through the Adams County Together team. And what you'll find on that Facebook page is really what you are talking about, Mary, resources, activities, events for children and family in our county. It launches actually today, so if people would like to try to log in and follow What's Happening Adams County, you can stay informed with those events and activities. I mean, it was something that was sort of born out of the social committee because we knew that social and mental health and wellness is a big part of what we're also trying to deal with right now. So we want to be able to give people an opportunity to see what it is that is happening in Adams County.
So important. We talked about that this morning in the news and put it on our community calendar. So folks, definitely Instagram or Facebook page, What's Happening Adams County, because, again, school's out. Well, it really has been, but now school's officially out, and the kids don't have any homework to do. So now they're really looking for mom and dad to step up and provide them with some help. We're going to talk about workforce teams. Angela, I assume you're standing by to take my questions?
Sure.
Welcome. Angela, we have changed so much. In January, we were talking about how unemployment was so low in Quincy that they couldn't get enough available workers, and you were going to have to go to Puerto Rico to recruit people. And now nationwide unemployment is at about 20%. How, obviously, some of this is very temporary, but what does the workforce look like now? Are factories that are running having trouble finding workers, or has this pandemic meant that there are much more available workers than before?
Well, actually, Mary, the real effect of the pandemic hasn't really materialized as in we at this point, we don't know how many workers are actually going to be needed. You know, with today being, or Saturday being, the first day that we moved into stage three, employers, we're still waiting to find out, you know, how are your positions filled, how many openings do you have, all of that type of information. We really should start getting those types of questions answered between this week, next week, and so on.
Well, I know in, you know, my little side gigs, one of them is shut down for me, probably till July at least. The other one I'm starting back on Tuesday. So, you know, everybody's going to be a different and have a different reentry. Definitely. What about for the factory? I've kind of forgotten. Forgive me for not being able to remember. But were places like ADM, Knapheide, Titan Wheel, were these places ever shut down because of COVID, or were they on any kind of reduced manpower because of COVID?
So they were not shut down. I know that Titan would do a week furlough here, a week furlough there, but none of them were completely shut down.
So,
The assembly places for Knapheide did have a slowish their work slowed down, but that wasn't because of anything that happened here. That was because of a lack of chassis coming in from the big manufacturers, you know, your Fords and the places where they get the chassis from.
Right. So the trickle down, as always, the trickle down, if you're an end producer, the supply chain trickle down, we're going to get hit last and we're going to ramp up last too, I guess. So, you know, when we were talking in January and February, places like ADM, NAPI, Titan, you name it, couldn't get enough workers. They were crying for workers. Is that going to be the case still, or is that still several months down the road when things return to whatever normal is? I guess what I'm asking, Angela, if I can put it in a better way now that I've thought about it, is low employment going to be the new renormal for Adams County, or are we going to have higher unemployment numbers?
Mary, I honestly think that low employment is still going to be, when all of this is done, when all the pandemic stuff is done, I think that low unemployment is still going to be our issue here. And that's why we are still continuing our talks as far as Puerto Rico is concerned. We have lined up an individual who does recruiting down there, and we are looking forward to having a real good conversation with her probably the latter part of next month. And we're moving forward.
Okay. So you're moving forward on the basis that this temporary glitch caused by the pandemic of COVID-19 is not going to be dramatically long-term effect what has been bothering Quincy for a while in this area, is that we don't have enough workers to fill the jobs we have available. So you're still going to have workforce development and reskilling. Maybe some people, of course, will still need to be reskilled. This may ramp that up. But John Wood Community College has offered some great free classes online that are absolutely free for people to get some better skills. So it seems to me that everybody's on board in trying to make sure our workforce is ready for post-COVID-19.
You're exactly right, Mary. With the programs at John Wood and all of the employers who are willing to train new employees, and John Wood actually has a free online webinar on Tuesday, June the 2nd, and this is for in-demand careers. So everybody's moving forward. We're trying to make sure that all of our employers are taken care of.
Yes. We don't know what the new normal is going to be, but I'm sure it'll be back to the old normal. You know, a year from now, probably, you know, one thing is, some people may like working from home so much they ask their boss if they can continue to do that. I think you're going to see some permanent changes in the way some things are done, but it's not going to be such a transformation around here that we won't recognize life as we know it. Of course, life goes on, and everybody wants to increase the bottom line. And one thing that the executive director of the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce, LaTanya Brock, preaches a lot is inclusiveness, the inclusive culture. We certainly have seen this last weekend how our nation has spiraled down from peaceful protest about a social injustice into riots and violence. Sometimes companies, fortunately, we haven't had that here. We rarely have that here. Most of our protests here are very peaceful. But let's talk about this. I know that Adams County Works is working with the chamber on this. Gretiff is working with them. Increasing the bottom line through inclusive culture, Wednesday, June 24th at noon. It's on Zoom, and reservations are necessary. Talk a little bit about what LaTanya Brock will be speaking about, how we increase the bottom line through inclusive culture.
Well, you know, Mary, I haven't had a first-hand peek at her outline for the afternoon, but I can tell you that when the transition planning team, the Adams County Works transition planning team, talked to her about doing this seminar, she was very interested in doing it for us, and it's simply going to be to just talk about how do we make sure that we are being inclusive of all of our employees, that we're being inclusive of all of our distributors, that we're being inclusive of all of our customers. It rolls from the top down, and just making sure that everyone within the organization and those who come in contact with the organization feel included.
That feeling of inclusion, it is more difficult in this rural American area because, you know, we're even in Quincy, I mean, we're majority Catholic. Not just white, but majority Catholic. I mean, one of the biggest groups that separates people is where they go to church. And here in Quincy, you know, the largest block goes to practices one, you know, denomination. So we are a lot more homogenized, I guess, than most places. And yet we do have differences. We all have differences. You would know that more than most, Angela, being an African American woman. Obviously, you have an inclusive workforce there at Grediff that has welcomed you. Joy is an American citizen but comes from an Asian American background. So the inclusion seems to be happening at businesses that really take it seriously. Other businesses, are they just not understanding how to be inclusive, or is what they present, unbeknownst to them, a turnoff for people, women of color, people of a different ethnic or racial background, people of a different religious background?
Well, I'm going to jump in a little bit
here.
I think that what happens is that people don't understand diversity is something that is natural. It's there. It's in front of you. You can't stop it. The inclusion part, you're right, Mary, is something that is more intentional, and that's the part that we do have to work on. I don't know that it's necessarily that people don't understand it, but I do think that sometimes people don't understand perhaps where that diversity in number, like where they see the bottom line change, and what that means, how diversity can attract more talent, how different experiences lead to more innovation, how it can increase productivity in the workplace, and then of course, as Angela was saying, to increase not only that employee satisfaction, but then also the customer satisfaction, which leads to sales. So I think that sometimes people don't always think about diversity in that space, and in the way that it can really affect their business. Lower turnover is another thing. I think that that's a big part of what the work of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee is through the chamber, is really to kind of help our businesses pivot that thought process and how really, again, it can affect their bottom line. And I think that that's the part that we're working on the most, is really just helping people understand that diversity is there, and the inclusion part is what we need to work on.
This, you know, again, this comes at a time when our country is again torn. The same thing happening again and again and again. Every few years, a spark of protest because of what is termed police brutality, usually racially based. And it does hamper the discussion, because as we watch TV, for example, you see a variety of different images coming in. Okay, the first image you see coming in, that if I were looking to place a factory somewhere, I would be like, I really like small town America. They seem to get along better with each other. They seem to have, like you said, our diversity here. I don't know if it's fully embraced, but it's here. We have diversity here. I think that inclusion needs to be worked on, but certainly we're working on it more than some areas. I think sometimes when you have bigger cities, it's easier to segregate because you have more of a group that can all go together. You know, here for a long time, women executives or women in the workforce, we couldn't be exclusive of each other. There were so few of us, we had to band together. You know, it didn't matter what your color was or where you went to church or even how much money you made or whether you were in management or just the lowest level. If you were a woman that held down a job and somebody had some respect for you and you earned a paycheck that was a head of household paycheck, you were in a league by your own, so you don't need to break into subgroups from that. So when you see things on TV like the rioting and the looting, how does that transfer into people's general reaction? That reinforces the stereotypes that we all have. So positive protest gets us thinking one way, and then violent rioting takes that good thinking and turns it into negative thinking right away. How do we balance that seesaw that we always seem to be on?
Well, I guess it can be very difficult to balance, but and I think that is why we try to remain, you know, close to the mission, really, of what our program with regards to diversity and inclusion is, which is really that creating that awareness within our community as it relates to being diverse and inclusive, but with our businesses in mind. You know, there's only so much that can be controlled, you know, not that we're trying to control things, but, I mean, we really just want to make sure that we're looking out for our partners and our businesses and look for ways for them to embrace diversity and inclusion and to leverage the strength of all of their employees within their influence. And that's truly kind of what the mission is with regards to how we make that business case with diversity and inclusion.
Well, certainly the Great River Economic Development Foundation is in the business of promoting business, of getting more jobs here, of getting more people trained for the jobs. And you guys have done a great job of that. And, you know, while we watch and we may have feelings about things that happen on a national level, whether it be, you know, protesting or COVID-19 or some other thing we cannot control, because none of those things are in our control, we can certainly look to our own selves and say, here in our community, how can we make ourselves better? And certainly the Workforce Development Program, the Concierge Program, Q-Town Cash Programs, these are all things that are making our community better. And if folks want to sign up for this Wednesday, June 24th Zoom webinar, they can certainly do so by going to quincychamber.org. Before I let you go, Angela and Joy, what else is good, new for the good of the cause coming out of the Great River Economic Development Foundation? You can't have a big mass gathering yet, so what's the next thing you think you'll be able to pull off down the road?
Well, right now we continue to just gear up for when things are more open in the area. We're making sure that we're making preparations for our youth when they can return back to school. And you know how we normally have our big Maker Fest and all of those types of things. So what exactly is that going to look like for our young people? Because we don't want to just completely cancel it. And then we have some other programs in store for our young ladies, a special mentoring type of program that we're planning for them. And of course, we'll have another seminar between now and the fall. So we're just really ramping up programs. We're planning and we're trying to make sure that things will be the way that they need to be with our new normal.
Okay. Angela Caldwell, Joy Quatero Austin, the business of America is business. I guess somebody once said it better than me. And the business of Gretif is business and keeping your businesses very happy and working here. And we thank you so much for your time today. You both have a great day. And hopefully one of these days we'll see you in person right here across from each other. But until then, keep that social distance, okay?
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks,
can't wait
Mary.
To see you in person.
Thank you.